Concerns have been raised about the independence of Chinese language teachers in schools and universities. The ABC has revealed that the Confucius Institute requires teachers to pledge loyalty to the motherland before being allowed to teach Mandarin. It's raised the ire of human rights groups, but some China watchers say there's not necessarily anything to worry about. Isabel Rowe reports.
The teaching of Chinese language is a particularly sensitive issue for Tibetan father Sonam Paljor.
I would not want to go, my kids to go in such a school.
The Western Sydney resident has young children at a school where Mandarin is taught by teachers from the Confucius Institute. Mr. Paljor says his daughter has come home confused after children in the playground told her that Tibet was part of China, not a view his family shares.
The presence of the institute in our school environment undermines what is one of the key tenets of our school environment, that is to provide a safe and inclusive environment.
Confucius Institute language programs are overseen by Chinese government agency Hanban. Teacher applications require the applicant to have good political and professional qualities and love the motherland. Swinburne University of Technology China expert John Fitzgerald says what good political quality means is that you accept wholeheartedly the beliefs of the Chinese Communist Party. And Sonam Paljor believes those politics are creeping into his child's classroom.
People think they're just another language with some free textbooks and free, few computers being provided by somebody who don't know who. And I think if people know more information, if the schools explain who these teachers are.
Human Rights Watch director Elaine Pearson is also concerned.
We've got children of a very impressionable age studying in these classrooms. Are those the sorts of values that we want to be teaching them?
In May last year, then-Minister for Education Rob Stokes ordered a review of the risks associated with language programs underpinned by relationships with foreign governments or organisations. That review is due to be published next month. Several universities, including the University of Sydney, accept funding from the Confucius Institute. In a statement, a university spokeswoman says it only receives modest funding support and the majority of the Institute's staff are already university employees. She also says their partner university in China, Fudan University, makes initial recommendations on a deputy director and one or two teachers, but that the university has the final say on whether to accept that. Flinders University academic Geoffrey Gill has already researched the issues. He says the primary school curriculum doesn't teach children about Chinese political issues, but nor should it.
The Confucius Institutes and classrooms try to portray China in a positive light and focus on the positive aspects of China while ignoring the more controversial issues. In that sense, they're selective rather than being overtly propagandistic. I'm not sure of the relevance of dealing with issues like Tibet or the Tiananmen Square massacre in a primary school language class.
So I suppose you don't see the current situation as of any great concern, really, especially in primary school?
I think schools should go into these relationships with their eyes open, but so far I haven't seen any evidence of a Confucius classroom or a Confucius Institute actually getting control over the curriculum.
ABC has contacted Hanban and the Confucius Institute for comment.
That's Isabel Rowe reporting.